Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Last week we started a couple of recordings about the Easter season and what Christianity can teach us. And so we're continuing with that with part 3, part 4 and part 5 today. Happy listening. Easter part 3. We're looking at objections, skeptics' objections to Jesus being a historical man, to his death, to his resurrection. And here it is. Some people say Jesus was just a man. Even if Jesus did exist, they say, he wasn't everything his followers claimed he was. They say he could have been a compassionate person and a charismatic leader, might have been a great prophet and a teacher, but he certainly was not God. I would like to put to you today that the answer is this: the evidence supports that Jesus was all he claimed to be. In John chapter 4, verses 16 to 26, Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Let me just read a little bit of that to you just now. John was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and he makes a very clear record of what Jesus said. The Lord Jesus, in that section, he talks to a woman who is very puzzled about who he is. And she says to him, "I know that when Messiah comes, which is called the Christ, he will tell us all things." Verse 6 of John 4 says this: "Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. In John 13, he claimed he came down out of heaven. He claimed to be eternal in the same chapter. He claimed to be equal with God in John chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 26, he claimed to be the saviour of the world, who would die for the forgiveness of sins, and that he would rise again from the dead on the third day. Now, Jesus performed many miracles and signs that supported his claims. He did miracles of healing. You find that in Matthew chapter 8, Mark 7. Miracles that affected the natural world. He restored dead people to life. The story of Jairus' daughter and the old man Lazarus. Now, these miracles were performed in public, and they were never contested by Jesus' enemies. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said that Jesus proved his power and authority by performing miracles and wonders and signs. Now, C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, says this: "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him," he means Jesus. They say, "I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." "That is one thing we must not say," says C.S. Lewis. "A man who said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse." Yeah, Jesus made claims to deity, to being God. He predicted that he would suffer, he would die, and rise again. He fulfilled ancient predictions which are statistically impossible to be fulfilled purely by coincidence. And I put to you today that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Easter part 4. Here's the skeptic's objection we're dealing with this time. They say Jesus' followers made it all up. See, the argument goes like this: after Jesus died, his followers invented a plan to deceive the entire world into believing that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the fulfillment of Scripture, and the Son of God who rose from the dead. Actually, the evidence suggests that such deception is highly unlikely. People will not knowingly die for a lie. The disciples were not fearless liars who wanted to fool the world. In fact, after his crucifixion, they locked themselves in a room. They were terrified about their lives. However, once they saw, they touched, they spoke with the risen Lord, their lives were transformed. John said, "We handled him, we heard him, we saw him. We had a long lingering look at him. He's the word of life." They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they left their former jobs and entered a life telling about Jesus. And as a result, they endured persecution, hunger, abandonment, imprisonment, suffering, torture, death, and many other things. Former journalist Lee Strobel writes, "People will die for their religious beliefs. if they sincerely believe that they're true. But people won't die for their religious beliefs if they know their beliefs are false. You see, these people weren't making it up. They sincerely believed that their beliefs were true, and that's what gave them the courage to risk their life. They believed that these were the facts. But there were some of Jesus' followers who doubted the resurrection until Jesus physically appeared to them. You know, the women at the empty tomb were afraid. They thought that someone had stolen the body. But when the Lord Jesus appeared, it's recorded in Matthew 28, they worshipped him and shared the news with the other disciples. The disciples actually didn't believe the woman's report of the empty tomb until Jesus appeared to them. Thomas, the famous story of Thomas, John's Gospel, he says, I'm not going to believe until I put my finger in the nail prints, my hand in the wound in his side. But once he saw the Lord Jesus, he believed. The Lord Jesus had a brother called James, another called Jude. He was embarrassed when Jesus preached in Nazareth. You read about that in Matthew 13. Now, we've no record, he may have doubted the resurrection. However, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 7 tells us that the Lord Jesus came directly and made an appearance to James. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, would record that he was stoned to death because of his faith. My last witness in this particular case is a man called Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. He was absolutely vehemently opposed to the person of Jesus Christ. He opposed the new movement so much that he made it his business to arrest them and to put them in prison, and some of them actually he would have killed. But he was stopped in his tracks on the journey to Damascus. When he was actually there, his purpose was to go there and arrest these people. And he had a revelation of Jesus Christ. He became a Christian. And he wrote a major part of the New Testament. Jesus' followers made it all up? I don't think so. I think the truth proves otherwise. Easter Part 5. Another objection that people put to the resurrection is they say that there were no impartial witnesses who could verify the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. The truth is that the reliability of the resurrection is supported by many witnesses and also by the lack of evidence from the opposition. One of the major facts is that they used the witness of women, which was a highly unlikely thing to do if it was a concocted story, because women in the days of first century Judea weren't even allowed to be witnesses in court. The testimony was considered worthless. And if those early believers had wanted to prefabricate and make up the story of the resurrection, they would not have used women. They would have found some high-ranking, influential man to create that story. But actually, they reported the people who actually were witnesses of the resurrection. Another fact is this, and I'm quoting now from John Warwick Montgomery, who says this: in AD 56, Paul wrote that over 500 people had seen the risen Jesus and that not most of them were still alive. That's recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. It passes the bounds of credibility that the early Christians could have manufactured such a tale and then preached it among those who might easily have refuted it simply by producing the body of Jesus. You know, in reality, if they could have produced the body, they would have knocked the whole thing on the head straight away. But no, they could not produce the body because he was alive. Alive from among the dead, Jesus had risen. And you know, that is a very, very significant fact, that the evidence is not there. The evidence is that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. I'd like to read to you some of the testimony of a man from the United States of America. His name is Dr. Simon Greenleaf. He's the Royal Professor of Law at Harvard University, or he was a long time ago, and he's one of the greatest legal minds that ever lived. Dr. Simon Greenleaf actually believed that the resurrection was a hoax, and he wanted to expose it. But he decided that it was only right that he checked the evidence, and he ended up being convinced that Jesus actually was alive from the dead, and he wrote a book with a rather long title, called An Examination of the Testimony of the Four Evangelists by the Rules of Evidence Administered in the Courts of Justice. And he states this: it was impossible that the apostles could have persisted in affirming the truths they had narrated had not Jesus actually risen from the dead. Listen to this bit. According to the laws of legal evidence used in the courts of law, there is more evidence for the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for just about any other event in history. Now, here's a man who's an expert in eyewitness testimony. He's a lawyer, and he says there's more historical evidence to Jesus living after death than there is to any other fact of history. We preach Christ and him crucified. We preach Jesus and the resurrection, and we pray that you might know him as your Lord and Saviour. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.